This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services. And in studio to begin is General Russell Honoré. It was 15 years ago that on this date, August 28th, we had the eve of Hurricane Katrina, and the general led Louisiana back from Katrina and from Hurricane Rita, which came 3 weeks later. And he is here to talk about that and more. And if you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757 or talk at talklouisiana.org. And yesterday at this time, we were talking about Hurricane Laura slamming the Louisiana coast with a vengeance. It was a vicious storm. Actually, not winds as high as Rita, even though it was reported otherwise. But nonetheless, devastation is the headline, and for good reason. In today's Advocate, 6 deaths reported from the Category 4 storm that made landfall about 32 hours ago. And what a difference 125 miles make, because Louisiana had a disparity in the way we were affected. In Baton Rouge, we were largely unaffected. In Lake Charles and Cameron and around that area, we know it was an immense storm with lots of buildings down, and in one case, a chemical fire, a biolab factory fire that sent massive plumes of chlorine-infused smoke across the area. General Honoré, you've been down this road before. Your thoughts about what in the world's going on in our state as we once again are picking up the pieces from a killer hurricane?
Well, we've again been reminded how vulnerable we are where we live by choice in one of the prettiest places in America with all its natural resources, which also bring a risk to us, because that natural resource bring in 1,400 oil wells Laura went through yesterday that feed the nation industry and provide jobs, but that brings risk to us in Louisiana, as well as we saw and still see today the impact of that big storm as it went through Lake Charles with pollution spewing in the air from stuff we use every day, from Clorox in the kitchen to pots and pan cleaners. But those that brings risk, the industry we've fallen in love with and we've embraced. That being said, it provided a lot of jobs to our people. What wasn't a storm like Rita and Laura reminds us that this is going to make recovery even harder, because we got the COVID at the same time going on in Calcasieu Parish, which had a very high percentage of positive cases. So getting support there, I'm sure all the first responders and the search and rescue teams are going to go, but then getting the people back there to assess their homes, to figure out what they're going to do to get FEMA help, is going to be a massive frustration. I talked to the folks down in Cameron Parish today that they have not gotten to the courthouse yet. 7 hours after Rita, we had the parish courthouse with communications. So we've got to get moving and make sure that we push a team down in Cameron to help the folks in Cameron Parish, because the focus actually will be on Lake Charles, where the majority of the people live. But between Cameron and Lake Charles, there's a lot of folks who live there. Cameron only have 5,500 people and 80,000 cows, but they often get forgotten. So hopefully they'll push a team in there today to Cameron and help them assess what they have and get communications, so at the proper time, the parish can start allowing the citizens to come back and assess their home, because they got to get a FEMA recovery number. And FEMA has not opened those lines yet as of this morning. Everybody that's been evacuated need a FEMA individual assistance number. Again, FEMA hadn't opened those lines yet. That need to be done today, and I hope the governor will make some calls to FEMA and make that happen.
Okay, well, 15 years ago, Katrina hits first, and it was a storm that is now estimated to have caused $135 billion in damage and about 1,800 people dead. And then Rita comes, and Rita was actually a bit more powerful than Katrina, but of course the levees did not break. And Rita didn't cause as much damage, but still 18 billion and 100 fatalities or so. And you were there for both of them. What do you recall? What's the legacy of what happened 15 years ago?
Well, it took us about 2 days to get to Hurricane Katrina, and everybody know that story. The challenges of doing search and rescue in New Orleans with 80% of the city underwater, the great work by the Louisiana National Guard and others, and the first responders saving people's lives until they could actually get the evacuation started on Thursday of Katrina week, and finish that on Saturday with the bulk of the people leaving the convention center. And lo and behold, after we go through search and rescue and all the great work in recovering people in their homes who didn't make it, here come Rita. The 82nd Airborne was preparing to go back to Fort Bragg. We had already deployed the 1st Cavalry Division. And here come Rita. Our ships, which we had 20 of them committed to Katrina, were mooring up to leave out. Here come Rita. So we actually held the ships in New Orleans. Rita came by, and we had two Navy ships follow Rita in to Cameron Parish. I, with my headquarters, spent the night in Lafayette, along with a brigade of the 82nd Airborne and an Oregon National Guard brigade. And when Rita came ashore, I went through Lake Charles, saw the courthouse, got their needs, got trucks moving gas to the Lake Charles courthouse, then drove down to Cameron Parish, stopped at the wildlife station, got the road open, and the Navy ships were evacuating people hours after Rita passed off of Pecan Island. Several dozen people were evacuated with Navy helicopters and Marine craft. And by mid-afternoon, we had the Cameron Courthouse open. I went through both of them because both scenarios are different.
All right. The general has been commenting, of course, on how our government is handling this pandemic. And the number of deaths in the United States has crossed 185,000 now. Over 22% of the deaths in the world are from the United States from COVID-19. And we have 4% of the world's population. So you do the math, we're about 5.5 times the per capita rate around the world for deaths from COVID-19. But last night in his 71-minute address on the South Lawn of the White House with more than 1,000 people not socially distancing, very few of whom were wearing masks, the president made it sound as though COVID was under control and that he had done a fabulous job combating this dread disease, which has taken almost 200,000 American lives. General Honoré, your thoughts about the president's work in this regard?
Well, as he said, it is what it is. He's been slow to respond. He's taken a political solution as opposed to a public health solution. The message has been confusing. The public health people say wear masks, and then at the premier event of his going into his second run for his second term, he holds an event that's not COVID compliant with CDC. So I hope and pray nobody else end up like Mr. Herman Cain. But that situation last night, from what we know from public health, was a place where significant spread could happen. And he encouraged that event, hosted it that way, and to make a political statement to the rest of the nation. At the same time, people have died, over 1,000 a day, most of them poor people and people of color. Is the preponderance of those who are dying. And he's using a political message to get us out of COVID, which is not working. It would be one thing if his strategy is not working. We still have over 1,000 a day that's dying. He refused to wear the mask. Those communities that have a lot of outbreaks now are generally communities that refuse to wear the mask, refuse social distance, because they've taken a political position similar to that of the president. And we have preached and everybody has talked about it, but that's the course of action he has chosen to take. And it, as he said, it is what it is. The problem is the people who are paying the burden of that is poor and elderly people. We're killing off our aunts and uncles and grandparents because we have not taken the right actions like other countries, like South Korea, like some of the countries in Europe, who started off the same time with us. They suppressed the doctor, they put in procedures, and they got testing. And every week we get a different testing rule out of the White House. Do you test? Do you don't test? If you test, you're going to have more cases. Totally backward statement. But that's the message coming out the White House. So I think the governors are going to have to take control of this as they have in the response and continue to use public health to guide them to lead their states.
The headline from CNN about the president's speech, Trump, defiant and dark as ever, claims Biden would destroy America. From Fox News, Pelosi says Biden shouldn't debate Trump. I wouldn't legitimize a conversation with him. The gloves are off, 67 days away from the finish line, and we'll continue our discussion with General Russell Honoré after this pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening to Talk Louisiana. General Russell Honoré is with us, 37 years in the U.S. Army, and he continues to be a major force in American public life. Of course, is recognized, justifiably so, as the hero of Katrina and Rita 15 years ago. Katrina struck our state on August 29th, 2005. 877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. Last night, as mentioned, the President of the United States spoke for an hour and 11 minutes, longest acceptance speech in the history of these sorts of things, with the exception of one time, and that was in 2016 when the same Donald John Trump accepted the Republican nomination the first time. And a listener, Julia, notes that the president in an hour and 11 minutes, and I didn't hear the whole speech, but I heard most of it, and I think she's right, did not mention Vladimir Putin one time. Here's a man who's put bounties on U.S. soldiers. Now we have reports today that the Russians are circling around Alaska. He poisoned his top adversary in the Soviet Union, now Russia. And General Honoré, as we know, he interfered in the election in 2016 and is doing so again in 2020. And yet there was much mention of China, as Julia notes, but none of Russia and Putin. Why not?
I don't know, but I wouldn't vote for anybody that don't believe in climate change. And that's all I got to say about that, because this is too hot a topic for me. We got to save Louisiana right now, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on it. But my choice is to vote for people who at least believe in climate change and are committed to do something about it at state, local, and federal positions. It's in full discipline.
There are some people who believe in climate change, like Garrett Graves, but he votes generally with the Republicans who do not do a whole lot about this. So do you have to walk the walk in addition to talking the talk?
Absolutely. And we decide that at the polls.
And right now in Louisiana, we have all the congressional members up for reelection, mm-hmm. and we have a U.S. senator. And I think the only one talking about climate change is Cedric Richmond. The others certainly aren't.
No. When you take significant contributions, which is in the portfolio of most of our legislators, most of their money comes from the oil and gas industry and the petrochemical industry, they lose their voice to represent the people, and they spend their time representing oil and gas. That's the problem we got.
Daniel in South Baton Rouge. Daniel, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. General Honoré, you're a very admirable man. I agree with what you said about 100%. And I just wanted to give you a great compliment on your stand and ask you one quick question about the Republican Party. Do they really support everything Donald Trump do, or are they really afraid of Donald Trump? Give me your opinion on that. Y'all have a good day, and thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Well, I think you kind of answered your question. I think the president has captured his party, and he showed those who not follow them will pay a price. That's my observation. I'm not a political expert, but again, I would not vote for anybody who at least do not believe in climate change.
All right. Well, another listener, and this is appropriate and something we should touch base with you about, this unrest in our cities. And we had this terrible shooting in Kenosha, Wisconsin, of a police officer shooting a man in the back seven times. And also here in Lafayette, state police continue to investigate the death of Trayford Pellerin, a 31-year-old black man shot fatally Friday night during an encounter with officers from the Lafayette Police Department. Officers were called to a scene at a convenience store to respond to a disturbance involving a person armed with a knife, and the police found Pellerin in the store's parking lot with the knife. When officers tried to apprehend him, he left, and officers followed him on foot. The police used tasers, and then the officer shot Pellerin as he tried to enter a convenience store along Northwest Evangeline Thruway. So some believe that this was inappropriate or at least excessive. General Honore, as you noted during Katrina, when you've got a weapon on you, that's the last resort, not the first option. What's going on with these people pulling guns? It seems no matter what is involved, they're ready to fire.
Yeah, they have options with the tasers. They have options with physical capacity to restrain somebody. But if the taser don't work, get straight to the gun. I have a challenge for the American police, and it's this. Let's see if we can go 24 hours without killing somebody. Because in many cases, police got options. They got standoff. They can block an individual. Many times they can go pick them up at their homes. But they choose the most egregious action, and the worst thing to do is kill somebody. Many times over a traffic offense or simple assault, people getting killed. And they don't shoot one time. Like this guy the other night, they shot him seven times in the back.
And the guy still lived, amazingly.
Right.
At least he is right now.
And the guy in Lafayette, I wasn't there. I only had some of the, but a man with a knife, police with guns, end up killing him. You could do a stand-up, because a lot of people you run into have mental problems. People with a good head don't stand up with a knife, threaten people with guns. So you're dealing with a mental issue. Okay? Think about that one of your relatives who may not have taken a med or took some drugs. Why in the hell you shoot somebody standing there with a knife? They cannot threaten Lafayette with a knife.
Richard on government. Richard, you're on with General Honore. Good morning.
Well, what I don't understand is why they allow white people. They had an interview with one of the TV stations. This white guy who had a warrant for his arrest for shooting three people and killing them. And yet he's running around, he's naked, and they don't shoot him, and he attacks somebody, and they don't shoot him.
All right, well.
No, I have to answer that.
Well, I think, General, we know that when a black person is a suspected assailant, quite often that person is treated differently than a white person would be. That's just where we are in our country right now.
I hope all of us will pick up the phone, call our police chief and sheriffs around the country, and say, let's not kill nobody the next 24 hours. The mission is to go 24 hours without killing somebody. Even if that person has put other people in danger, find other methods without shooting people. Because the idea is to protect and serve, not to protect and kill.
Well, last night the president said that this is occurring in, quote, democratic cities. He said the 10 top cities for murder in the U.S. are run by Democrats. He is the president, but these are urban cities, as we know. And, yes, they are run by Democrats, but are the mayors responsible for this? Does the president get some blame? Is he ratcheting it up? How's your perception on this?
Well, it's been going on for 3 years. This topic is only important in election years. After the election's over, no president will deal with crime and drugs in the cities. You look at the cities with the high amount of violence, people-on-people violence, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Atlanta, Chicago, they're on the drug contraband highway that comes out of South America.
All right. Skipper and Gonzalez. Skipper, you're on with the general.
Yes, I just wanted to say that if my son or daughter had been in that convenience store and that man had come in and cut them up with a knife, I'd be holding those policemen responsible.
Yeah, that's why police are trained. They could follow the person in. Again, I wasn't there. You weren't there. You've got a good scenario to defend why you ought to kill him, because he got a knife. And you can figure out any excuse when you got a gun and he got a knife to shoot and kill. I'm going to tell you, the London police are laughing at American police at how stupid we are and how often we kill people because he got a knife. Or maybe reaching for a knife and you got a gun.
877-217-5757. We're going to spend a few more minutes with General Russell Honoré, and then the plan is to hear from Carter Page, former top aide to the President of the United States, who has written a book believing that the Russian abuse was not abuse. His book is entitled Abuse in Power, How an Innocent American Was Framed in an Attempted Coup Against the President. We're back. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing. We're going to hear from Dr. Carter Page in just a moment. His book is Abuse in Power, How an Innocent American Was Framed in an Attempted Coup Against the President. Carter Page was a top aide to Donald John Trump. But as we wrap it up with General Russell Honoré, General Honoré is surveying the situation in the Southwest Louisiana corridor, where a cleanup, of course, is ongoing and a recovery effort is going to take some time. You've been down this path, General. How arduous is it?
It is hard. Right now in search and rescue phase, the people that remain to survive and are still in their homes, with most of the water systems out, they'll need clean water. A lot of the people that remain behind that have diabetes, they're going to need ice to keep their medicine safe. And those out of work and those displaced are going to need financial assistance. It's one thing to put people in a hotel and give them food twice a day. It's something else to do individual assistance, which was created after Katrina by FEMA. Whereas you could call the 1-800 number to FEMA or go online while you're in a hotel and you have access to a computer, register, and within 48 hours, FEMA could put cash in those people's bank accounts. And I've been banging on this for 24 hours, hoping FEMA will open that system up and announce when it's open where people can apply for individual assistance. Call your local political leaders if you're affected by this storm and demand that individual assistance from FEMA be opened immediately so you can apply and that cash will go directly to your checking account.
Well, thank you, General. Always a pleasure, even under the most dire circumstances, to talk with you. And thanks again for your 37 years of service to our country in the U.S. Army, including several hotspots, war zones across the globe. General Russell Honoré, one of a kind and a true Louisiana treasure. Good to see you.